Well, you might not know exactly what it means, but we're all hearing a lot right now about 5G. Last month, AT&T began its initial launch of 5G wireless service in 10 select markets. The next iteration of wireless technology promises to deliver data at speeds up to 10 times faster than current in-home broadband technology. And wireless service providers and hardware retailers are eagerly marketing its arrival to better their wares. But as consumers await the next generation of wireless networks, researchers are already looking down the road at what the wireless landscape will look like in the future. That's right. We are talking 6G. For more on that, I got a hold of Ted Rappaport, a professor and founding director of NYU Wireless, one of the world's first wireless engineering academic research centers. And I asked him first for an explainer. We know 5G will make our internet connections faster, but what actually is it?
Well, 5G is not just faster internet service. It's really to your cell phone and for what your cell phone can do. Think about YouTube and all the videos and applications we use now with maps. Well, 5G is going to allow that data to be even faster, so that 5G will allow us to watch television and all the things we do on a big screen really in the palm of our hand. That's what 5G will bring, much greater data rates.
Right. So we're talking about the rollout of 5G. I understand it's been slower here in America than in other places. What have some of the holdups been?
Well, actually, the U.S. was the first in the world to authorize these millimeter wave frequencies, frequencies an order of magnitude higher and thus much wider in bandwidth to allow this great data rate. The FCC really got out in front of it and is leading the charge. But places like Korea and China and Japan have very aggressively built out 5G. I'd say we're not really behind. I'd say the whole world is just now really deploying 5G. So in the major cities, we're doing great in the U.S. China's probably a little bit ahead with their massive investments, and Asia is probably just a little bit ahead. But really, we're right up there, and regulatory-wise, we really led the world.
One question that I always think about when I hear about this kind of stuff is, so, I mean, 5G is being billed as groundbreaking, like the fastest speeds we've ever seen. But I wonder, like, is there a point at which you just can't get any faster? Is there a point at which you can't build a better mousetrap, you know?
Well, that's a great question. In wireless, we're now in the fifth generation, and the data rates have gone from really just very slow voice from the early cell phone days of the 1980s to now 5G will allow fiber optic-like speeds to every person's pocket. So it's like having a wireless fiber optic link. But we're working on 6G at NYU, which offers even greater and more fantastic applications, which are probably a decade away.
A decade away, right. Okay, so let's talk about 6G. This is, how are you even beginning to look at 6G when 5G is just being rolled out?
Well, that's our job at a university. We're always supposed to be pushing the boundary, looking ahead, proving to others what people didn't think would be possible. And we've come up with some amazing new results that we think will find their way into the marketplace in the late 2020s. Maybe before, but every generation of cellular takes about 10 years from conception to integration into a global standard. So I think by the end of the 2020s, you're going to see amazing things like your cell phone will be able to see in the dark. It'll be like an infrared camera. It will do sensing. It will sense the air quality, see if there's food allergens in the bowl of soup in front of you. It would allow you to look around corners using amazing new technologies. And also it'll allow you to locate where you are within centimeter accuracy. So your phone and where you are and where you are in a building will know exactly where you are. You'll be able to take images of the surroundings and upload it to the web. So wherever you are, you'll be making a map in great detail of where you go, almost like breadcrumbs. So there are new exciting things that will happen, and that's all going to be enabled by going up to even higher frequencies than today's 5G. So going up to terahertz, or sub-terahertz, above 100 gigahertz, and the FCC got out in front of this last year by authorizing spectrum above 95 gigahertz. And when you get up to these high frequencies, you're able to have bandwidths that now are 5 or 10 billions of hertz wide. That is, that you're able to send in one signal the information that, you know, just a few years ago was sent around the world in a second.
So you're talking about a decade from now, 6G. Are there already discussions about, you know, 50 years down the line about what's next?
Well, we wrote a paper, and I talked about what might happen 20 years from now. Mm-hmm. And I gave a lecture at NC State a couple years ago looking at 50 years into the future. But in 20 years from now, the computational capabilities of a $1,000 smartphone and the wireless capabilities will actually allow data rates on the order of the human brain to be sent wirelessly. I call this wireless cognition. Wow. So in about 20 years, we'll be able to send information wirelessly that's comparable to how we as humans compute. So imagine remote controlling robots with human-like intelligence. Intelligence is not the same as information, but we'll be able to have information data rates in 20 years that approach how fast our brains think, which means you could basically remote over wireless human cognition.
I want to ask one question before I let you go, Ted, about rural wireless and broadband access, because that's been such a challenge just even here in our country, let alone elsewhere in the world. Will it take as long to get 5G than maybe 6G to these parts of the country where you don't even have this kind of access yet?
Yeah, no, that's a great question. And I always have believed, and I wrote papers about it a few years ago, that 5G could really be the great equalizer to help solve the digital divide. Hmm. When you get up to these frequencies and bandwidths, it becomes much easier to just put up a phone pole or a tower and send these fiber-like speeds, you know, several kilometers down the road rather than digging up the cable. So 5G will take a little longer in rural areas, but I think it could help accelerate rural. And I know Chairman Pai at the FCC is personally very interested in trying to solve this problem. I think millimeter waves and even 6G up at terahertz and sub-terahertz frequencies could basically replace all the fiber and all the digging of the ditches that has to happen and which takes so long to get done in rural America. Mm-hmm. I own a house on a mountaintop in Virginia, and I have cable. I have DSL. Mm-hmm. It's just buried in the ground, and it goes out all the time, and it's very slow data rate. If we could just get 5G millimeter wave connection there, it'd be much, much faster, and that's what I hope will happen.
Yeah, all right. Ted Rappaport, thank you so much for your time.
Thank you so much.
Ted Rappaport is the founder and director of NYU Wireless, telling us all what to expect beyond the 5G capabilities we're seeing implemented now.